Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo, right here for you.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up, everyone, because we are above the ground, so we are alive, and that makes us very, very happy. And so you are listening to Colombo Chronicles every Wednesday, and it is from 12 to 1 p.m. Noon in the West Coast at Pacific Standard Time. And so you have to adjust your time. And also you can listen worldwide on the worldwide web at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. And, you know, this is going to be a really enjoyable show today because it's more positive. And the reason it's more positive is because we have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Professor Rosalind Khan, and that's K-A-H-N. And she wrote a very important book. It's A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders. And she is a coach and a professional speaker. And she also walked out on the TEDx stage just recently, not so long ago, with over 500 people in the audience. And we're going to have her talk to us about that experience, because that's quite an achievement, and how she decided to do that and why she decided to write a wonderful book, A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders, in just a moment and right after this important message. So don't touch that dial. We'll be with you in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe, where they have home cooking. You will love the food, but you will also love the homemade apple pie. And on that note, we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And on authors and experts, we have a wonderful guest. And her name is Rosalind Khan, as I stated before. She is a professor, and she teaches college students, and she's also a coach and a professional speaker. So let's just get started and enter into the world of authors and experts and welcome our very special guest. Hi, Rosalind. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Couldn't be better. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's been a pretty busy moment, morning, obviously. And so I'm kind of excited to get into this particular topic, Message for Tomorrow's Leaders, which is the title of your book, because we do need some positive feedback into the universe, not just in the USA, but around the world, obviously. So first, I'd like you to tell our audience a little bit about your background and what is the reason that drove you to write the book, A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders.
Well, you know, okay, yes, my name is Rosalind Khan. I'm here in beautiful city of Los Angeles. And the message behind writing the book was really simple. I work in the Los Angeles Community College District, and the college district had a special thing they wanted to do for the minorities. And they said that if you had an idea that we could help maintain minorities in the college classroom, they were going to be doing a panel of speakers, and you just submit your ideas, and it goes from there. And so what happened was is I had an idea that I was going to bring people from all around the world into my classroom and have them speak. And what happened was there was the pandemic. And it was originally just on they were going to come and inspire my students in speaking and things like that. And when the pandemic broke out, they decided to change the face of the book because what was going on in our world. And so I changed it to looking at the race, the riots, and the protests, and how people felt about that and how they could inspire our students. And what's happened since then is absolutely amazing. I wrote the book. I had some great reviews. I had people from 46 different backgrounds from around the world who contributed to this book. And then I found out recently, it's been picked by the Toastmasters magazine, who's going to be sending it out to 38 nations around the world and 137,000 people. And I was like, oh my God, that was exciting. That was really, really exciting.
That's really exciting. Congratulations. That's quite an achievement.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And the stories in there are truly heart-wrenching about what is going on in our world today, even then and even now, and what we see of the pandemic and so forth. And it's just heart-wrenching. And one other thing that you don't know is I've started a television station since I probably wrote that, and I've actually interviewed people from the Ukrainian church. I'm going to be meeting people from the Jewish background, my own background. And just the other day when I was having a problem downloading stuff on my computer, this guy was telling me how his wife had done a GoFundMe, and they're sponsoring a lady and her family that's coming here to the United States from everything from stamps to potions to job and everything just to give them another life. And I said, oh, my God, I'll have to go ahead and interview that one too. So it's like their world is filled with good people. If we just open up our eyes and we look at what's out there, they're not all bad. And I've heard even people in the country of Russia are not in favor of what's happening with their country and what they're doing. And,
well, I believe that's true in a lot of countries because we are just the citizens. And then when a leader makes a decision, we have no control over that decision, even if we oppose it and the majority opposes it. And war is not something I think most people around the world want to happen anywhere in the world. So, yeah, I agree with that, that, yeah, it's not something people want. But we have to deal with it, right?
No, we certainly have to deal with it. But we talked about having a positive conversation. So I'm going to shift the conversation and move to that terrain. So, the book was really written.
No, I meant it in a positive way. What I meant was that we can move it into a positive thing because we can't deal with that, but we can do other things as individuals, right?
Right. There's all things that we can do. And I know when I was talking to people at the church, because I see a lot of people on these stages and these platforms that I'm at, and at one point they were looking for clothing and medical items and, you know, household items. And right now it's just the good old buddy cash, the cash that they can do what they need to do to go ahead and make it happen. I was very much involved with the Ukrainian church that's over on Melrose Boulevard. If you look at the Orthodox Ukrainian Church, you can find them there. What's amazing about them, I've been posting all sorts of videos and pictures about them, is the ladies and anybody who wants to go and volunteer can go to that church. And they were making varnike, which is a Ukrainian dish that is like a pastry that's filled with potatoes. And then just recently they were making the sweet bread for the Easter holiday and was able to go ahead and try that. And they're selling these as a way to go ahead and help out people in the community. So there are things that we can do. And there's also the power of prayer, because I believe what happens in one part of the world happens to each and every one of us, as we see the price of our gas prices going through the roof and the price of wheat and also all overall groceries going up.
Well, I think maybe a lot of people are going to the basics because they're finding out that, you know, we've seen during the lockdowns the food shortages and the truckers being stifled from delivering, because my family's in the restaurant business, so they definitely suffered the consequences of that and in their businesses, and had to make tons of adjustments that cost them a lot of money to make to survive. And so I think a lot of people are figuring out, you know, what is the best thing I really need and what do I not need, and not what I want, but what do we need to continue to help other people and survive as well. So what is, would you say, is the most unique thing in your book?
Well, I think the most unique thing in the book is really the story of a 12-year-old kid. His name is AJ Stuntz. And even after what he wrote in the book, he's still doing it today. So let me tell you about this kid, AJ Stuntz. It's a great story. A couple of years ago, I was introduced to a child that a lot of people are going to know by the name of Tyler Gordon. Tyler Gordon is the one who painted the picture of Kamala Harris before she was Vice President of the United States, and she opened it on Thanksgiving Day. And since that time, he's been on the front of Time Magazine, endorsing all sorts of people and paints all sorts of celebrities. And I had done an interview, but something happened with the media, and it never aired. And I saw one of the people who was commenting on his post was a friend of his. And they always say one way to build your friendship is looking at other people's friends. And I met this kid named AJ Stuntz. Now, this wasn't just an ordinary kid. This is a kid superior to the max. AJ Stuntz is a stunt card rider, but that's not all. This is a child who grew up and his parents taught him right from wrong. And he went one time to volunteer for a homeless shelter, and it was Christmas. And he said, God, these kids got it great. Look at all the good stuff they're getting. And the lady said, this is one day. This isn't every day. And from that moment on, he started going and volunteering and helping them out. He does a calendar each year where he goes ahead and gives back money to a church for kids who have cancer and helps out the homeless. He's been to the inner city of San Francisco. And when it was Black Lives Matter, he was out there. When it was the Hispanic event, he was out there. Whatever the event is, he was out there. There was a tragedy that came upon him that he had this van that they would go out and they'd feed the homeless. And they had it locked up and it was stolen. And I remember talking to his mother, and I said, you know, he has done so much good in society. I know there are people out there who are going to be looking for you. And they had his name painted on the logo of the side of the truck. So it's really kind of hard to miss. And the people of the city had found it out, found the truck, and he was arrested. And granted, they had to buy all new materials for inside. But I think it shows the power of when you go ahead and do good. When you go ahead and do good, goodness goes ahead and returns to you. I was reading a quote today, and I'll go ahead and see if I can remember what it said. It's, when you go ahead and do kindness to the world, you will be surprised at the way that kindness shows up in your life without even ways of you even going ahead knowing it. And that's certainly what had happened to him. His name is AJ Stuntz, and if you look him up on the web, you will find out the great thing that he does, and he's still out there. And better yet than that, he has a mother and a father and grandparents, the whole nine yards. But he started a movement where he talks to fathers about how fathers can do a better job of fathering their children and how they can be role models for them. And that's just a thing that he started up on his own initiative all by himself. And that just kind of goes ahead and shows the, yeah, he's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story.
It is. It's a wonderful story. And it's also, you know, needs to be shared because that's a great motivation for other young people too, because so many young people don't have a father, or the father is missing in action. And it's a very important part in their lives, whether you're a male or a female, actually. And I know a lot of females, too, who wish they would have a closer relationship with their dads, not just with their mothers. So what would you say was the overall message of your book?
Well, I think the overall message of the book was not to stop and keep moving on and living, that we had two choices during the pandemic, the protest, and living at home. We could live on freeze frame and be frozen and look at the losses of, I can't see my friends, I can't go out, I can't party, I can't do the get-togethers, or the loss of family, the loss of friends, or the people that were dying. But there's those people who took the time and learned new languages, learned new skills, took on new enterprises, realized they didn't have to stay in one place and places where they could go ahead and work remotely. There's a lady in the book whose name is Robbie Motter. She's the head of an organization called Global Society of Female Executives, and she said more people than not that she knew in her organization used this as a money-making opportunity beyond words to really help other people to get out of their comfort cell. And, you know, I can say in my own world, I am a motivational speaker. I speak on stages. I've given 3 TED Talks. I have several more opportunities that are coming up in this year. And due to the pandemic, I was able to not just be a speaker in the United States, but I spoke on 11 platforms around the world, everywhere from South Africa to India to Canada and everywhere in between, and really share my message of hope and inspiration out there. I did about 200 Facebook Lives on going ahead and reducing stress, and I got an award for kindness from the Global Society of Female Executives, got an award from the President of the United States for the service. And then the following year, I decided to go out and start my own podcast, and I had a show. It was called Community of Unity, and I promised to go on Spectrum, and some people aren't as they say they are. And that didn't end up happening. And so a colleague, a friend of mine I'd known for many years, offered me the chance to go on television. We've all heard the story that when you come upon something great, there's all the naysayers of the world. And how are you going to do that? How are you going to make it happen? How is this? And I had so many people say no to me or say, don't do it, don't do it. And here we are 3 to 4 months into it. My show has been expanded into Canada, working to deal with the person who's a possible presidential candidate of the United States. Businesses that I met on a modeling thing that I did in Las Vegas are looking to be some of my advertisers in Las Vegas. And it just gets better and better. I had some people who are IBM directors that are a part of it. And, you know, every day is more surprising. I mean, recently, there's just so much to say. I helped young kids get on a stage, just like AJ Stuntz. I recommended him from a World Young Leaders Award that was held in England. And it was a panel, and I had about 7 kids there. And one of the young children I met was a young lady whose name was Kyra Pasibre. And Kyra is a 7-year-old girl who is beyond spectacular. And, you know, I did a lot of things for many of those kids. About 2 of them have shown me some respect. One of them is Joe Boy, his son. His name is Tiberius Boy, who's got radio shows literally all around the world. If you look at him, he's a star celebrity. And this other young lady, Kyra Pasibre, is in Hawaii. And every time they come to the United States, they make a point of seeing me. They also follow what I do. When they saw that I was up in a gyrocopter, and the mother, you know, sent me a message. She said, is there any way? Kyra would absolutely love to go on that gyrocopter. And so we met him the other day, and we were in Santa Monica on the pier. We went out to dinner. We saw a play. And yesterday was a big day that she got to fly on the plane, and the guy who was the pilot there is one of my partner, whose name is Anna Marie Buenacore, and this is Orbic Helicopters out of Camarillo. Mike Trudell was just such a gentleman, and the way he talked to this little girl, and she handed him her marketing brochure, and he's like, I don't want to see the pictures. I want you to tell me what's in each and every one of them. Go, and she'd tell him, and he says, you wouldn't believe what you did up in the air. You know, she didn't have a mic on, but she'd go, oh, that's amazing. Oh, my God, that's even more amazing. Wow, this is spectacular. And he was just, you know, guessing. Imagine a 50-year-old guy, man going ahead and guessing and listening to this young girl just interviewing the guy as he's up in the air. So how do you like your job? How long have you been doing this? Are you having fun? Is this a good time? And, you know, you talk about golden parents. Her parents are just so generous, kind, and giving in so many ways. It's like, I just wish more people had the chance to be as generous and as kind-hearted. And this young girl said, someday I want to be a pilot so it can make it easier when I drop goods and give services to people to get that message out to them, because mm-hmm. then I could help more people. And her mother said, you know, the gowns and dresses that she has, they were giving them to people, but they didn't know if giving them that they were going to sit in the closet. She said, what we want to do is we want to loan them to people so that when they go to the gown, the affairs, that we can go ahead and wash them and give them off to someone else to enrich more lives. I mean, is that not a beautiful story?
I think that's wonderful. Yes, it is a beautiful story. I think there's a lot of people who are doing good things, but it's really hard for them to get the attention of the media because it's just hard. It's always been hard to get the attention of the media. So they have to be more involved and think outside of the box like you do on how to do these things and not be discouraged by the word no, because heaven knows there's a lot of those when you talk to the media.
Well, yeah, you know, so, I had a person who was on my show, and his name was David Adams, Adam Speaks, and he came on my show, and I've been following his philosophy that I'd like to share with people who listen to your show, and he said, every day we need to dream. We need to spend 30 minutes worth of dreaming. You know, to spend another 30 minutes reading. And so every day I do some reading. I listen to a meditational group that I go to. And their words for today were, pick three words out that you want to be today. And the words that I chose today were patient, kind, and loving. And so I made these three beautiful displays of flowers and beauty and these beautiful bouquets. And as I go out today, I'm going to hand them out to people that I see. The neighbor always brings his dog, and I decided today I was going to go ahead and give him a bone. Instead of getting upset as I do over some little things, it's to be patient. And if I could give that word to everyone who listens to this show is pick three words out and be that person that you think you're going to be. And when you do this over a 30-day period of time, imagine that the change that you can create in your life. And that's what I'm all about. Every day I read a new thing or listen to a different little meditation thing in the morning, and it helps me to grow so much. And we can all change and take those no's and make them into yes.
Yes, I think it's really important to do that. I believe in meditating every day, and also believe in prayer and also positive thoughts and putting back into the universe. And I think that more people are beginning to wake up to that fact that we need to start getting back to helping each other and starting to get back to family and morals and this type of thing, because we hear so much negativity on the news that I've even limited myself to listening to the news, especially at night. I don't listen to it. But because I just don't want to hear bad news when I go to bed. And I think those things are important, that you recognize those things, that, you know, you can open up your mind to something pleasant at night and possibly have a better night's sleep so you can be a better person in the morning instead of waking up grumpy and unhappy. And so who do you think should read your book?
Well, I think the book is both for adults and young people. Anyone who wants really a new lease and outlook on life, I mean, one of the things I would suggest is take a chapter and have it by your bedside. Read a chapter of that before you go to bed and write your list of gratitude. Because I believe if we begin every night with gratitude and we begin every day with gratitude and you read one little story in there, you can change your outlook of how you see the world. Because I'm a big believer of what you put in is what you get out. So if you begin putting yourself positive thoughts when you go to bed, reading the book, writing that list of gratitude, waking up, reading that book and those moments of gratitude, you can truly change the focus of the day. And a colleague, a friend of mine, her name is Dr. Marielle McKinley, had said it was one of the top books that was written in that year and a book that everyone should go ahead and read. And that's on the back cover, and she's a syndicated book reviewer. She used to be on Coast Radio and things like that. And it was a privilege and honor to have her as a reviewer of my book.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I remember her. And so do you believe your book is timely now?
Oh, I think it is. It is so timely. I mean, I remember last year I was on a bunch of different shows, and it's how we take those times that things aren't going our way, and how do we make sense of them? You know, there's a saying that history goes ahead and repeats itself, and I'll tell you a short little tidbit here. I'm a very sensitive individual, and as I listen to the stories of what we don't hear in the newspapers of what's going on in Ukraine, there were tears flooding down my face as I listened to the stories of these horrendous things that were happening to young ladies over there. And as I got to my morning meditation, I was crying as I was telling the stories of what I heard and how we need to do something. I called another person who was a world leader in some place, and some of the stories that people said, that's not the only place that tragedy is going on in the world. Don't you have other things to do, Rosalind? Can you really make a difference in something, or is there something you should be focusing local at home? And that just, no, that's not the way that I look. I mean, imagine if everyone looked at that and said, that's not in my backyard, what can I do about that? I mean, how short and shallow that was. And I said as I was recording the video for them, if we can just impact one person, if we can get one person to change their life and go out and do something different for the people of Ukraine, imagine what we could be. And I just think it's phenomenal of the citizens of Ukraine and how they're going ahead and they're fighting back and they're taking back what was taken from them. And this is just a one-time thing. They've been fighting this battle for years and years and years.
Well, it is difficult to, you know, when people are under a lot of stress, because I've been a consultant to victims of legal abuse for 30 years and heard all sorts of horrible, horrifying stories in our own country. So when people are going through their own stress in their own country, sometimes they aren't able to try and think about, you know, another country and what they're suffering. And probably she didn't really mean it in a, you know, if she had, maybe she was under some sort of stress or something, because there's so much going on everywhere now. It's crazy. But, you know, I think sometimes things happen because God wants us to wake up and recognize that this is not good. This needs to be changed. You know, these are horrible sins against humanity. You need to stand up and change this and take action and do something about it. Because otherwise, we just keep going deeper and deeper and being complicit, even if we're not actively involved, we're still complicit by not taking action to make it better and recognizing there's a problem here, like you're doing with your book. And also, the name of the book, again, is A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders by Rosalind Kahn. And Rosalind, you also mentioned that I read that you did have that program for the students in college, your students, but that COVID made the difference. And so my point was that, you know, COVID was a unexpected tragedy, and so it was a negative. But yet you took the negative and you're turning it around into becoming a positive for other people. So that was my point, that, you know, sometimes tragedies or different sorts of corruption that's going on in our country start to come and face, you know, and enter into our backyard, and that we really do need to wake up. So
right.
The people in Ukraine, though, I mean, I'm the same way. I just, if I look at that, I just feel so sad for them, because you can only imagine what if that happened in our own country. It happened on 9/11, and look how the whole country came together. The whole country came mm-hmm. together and united and said, let's get this cleaned up. Let's do something about it. Let's take action. And
right.
So I think in the Ukraine, maybe there's some things going on there in their government that we don't know about. And the people are the victims of these actions by our leaders, and that maybe need a change by the citizens. So, but we do need to help other people. I mean, it's just humane to do that. And so was your book co-authored, or did you write your book on your own?
Well, my book was, I would say it was co-authored, because there was 46 different people who were contributors to the book. It was kind of like a chicken soup for the soul, where everybody, you know, wrote the stories, and there was an intro by me as the start of the book. But I was thinking a train of thought that you were saying about the negativity, and here it comes. When the outbreak first erupted, there was a picture of people, and I don't remember, I think they were in Ukraine, and they were gathered in a church and they were singing. And music is a healing instrument, and I'm certain beyond words that there are people who are composing many works of art and masterpieces that are going to be based on their experiences that they've lived through and they're going through right now. And music is also a force to heal. And to imagine, of all the things they were doing, to have a picture of a group going ahead and singing, it was just one of those things that we can all do. And I know that when I'm stressed out and things are crazy, I go ahead and I start singing my favorite songs, whether they were songs from my childhood or songs from the radio or songs I remember going to temple or something like that. But they just bring me so much calm.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was humming to someone today, they said, oh, my God, you have such a beautiful voice. And I said, well, gosh, when I was enough with people, they told me I was tone deaf. So I guess it's maybe the practice and the repetition. She said, oh, well, you know, lots of people can sing in the shower. They're beautiful there. But I keep practicing every day.
I believe that music and color and fresh air and sunshine make people happy. They just
Oh, yes.
You know, and a lot of people don't experience it. And you use the word grateful, and that's one of the things I always tell people. I say, you have to be grateful. You know, you have to be grateful that you have a roof over your head, or if they're complaining, or that you have clothes on your back and food on your table, a car to drive, gas in your tank, and all the rest of the stuff and people in your life who care about you. All the rest of the stuff comes and goes, you know, money comes and goes, and good times come and go. But what's really important, you know, is being grateful for health, being grateful for a sound mind. I mean, so you're rich if you have a sound mind and a healthy body. And that's mm-hmm. how I feel, you know. And you can do whatever you have to do to survive when you have a sound mind and a healthy body. And so, you know, I just, you know, I think that word is so important, because in America, I think we've been spoiled a lot. And, you know, we just expect things and it to be there. And like when the food shortage came, for whatever reasons, people panicked and they were hoarding, which shows
right.
how people's minds work, you know. And they didn't care if the next person couldn't buy a loaf of bread. They wanted, you know, to buy as many as they could or whatever they were hoarding. And it really was kind of sad to look at that in the United States of America, you know, on the news, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, so the gratefulness to me is so important, that people be grateful, because you may not have it tomorrow. We didn't expect that to
happen
in America.
That's right, you know. That's That's certainly so. You know, one of the other motivational things I was reading today was kind of about the power of really transforming the mind, mm-hmm. that you learn to be grateful for what you have today, and so that you're grateful whatever goes ahead and happens, good, bad, or indifferent. So when experiences happen, you learn to celebrate. Oh, my God, I got to be interviewed on Rose Colombo's show. We finally got it together. It was only 3 or 4 times that we made it, and it was such a beautiful interview, and it was a bright, beautiful day. We talked about so much positivity instead of, you know how many times we rescheduled this? You know how many times it didn't work out? Are you really going to be here? Are you really going to be there? And you know, here we are. Should we look at it the downside or should we look at it the upside?
Yeah, and I also try to remember what a friend of mine used to work for the government. He's retired now, federal. And he said, you're supposed to be here when you're supposed to be here, you know, because I was a few minutes late. He goes, no, that's when you're supposed to be here. He goes, don't worry about it. He says, everything has a purpose and a reason. And so I kind of remember that because I was driving down the street with 2 other people in my car, my mother and her friend, and not on the street, on the highway, a freeway. And this was a long time ago, but for some reason, I had this, I don't know what happened. I was driving off the off-ramp, and they go, where are you going? And I saw a Denny sign, and I said, oh, I thought we'd have some coffee. And they said, oh, okay. So we did. We had some coffee and pie, and then we left. And I believe it was a guardian angel, and we weren't supposed to be on that highway any further because ahead of us was the most horrendous accident I'd ever seen, and helicopters and all sorts of things. And so I always remembered what he said. No, you're supposed to be there when you're supposed to be there.
That is a beautiful thing. Or as they say, whatever you've done at the end of the day is what you've done at the end of the day. Tomorrow's another day. I'll just be happy mm-hmm. that that's what you did.
Yes, because you can't do anything about what you didn't do that day. You know, I think that's where the old saying came from, where don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today, because you may not have tomorrow. And so I think that goes along with doing an act of kindness, like you believe in, and I believe in, and
yep.
And making it a better world while we're still here, because no one's promised tomorrow. So I think you know, I truly believe in that message that, you know, make every day the best you can make it, because
that's right.
I'll see somebody, and on Thanksgiving I was going to my daughter's house. I was going to buy some flowers, and I had some. I don't carry cash usually anymore because, you know, we use cards. But I had cash in my hand. I was just going to run in and get some flowers, and I saw this lady. And she was probably around 40-ish, and she was digging through the trash cans, and it was like, I thought, oh, my God, I bet she's hungry. So I just waved the money out the window, and I said, come here. And so she looks at me, and she kind of wanders over. I go, it's okay. Here, go buy yourself something to eat. And I just said, oh, they don't need flowers. They can't eat the flowers. So it's just, you know, it's just that moment that when you see somebody and you feel that they need something. I believe, you know, if you can help, you know, why not?
That's
what
right.
What does it hurt? You know, what's going to hurt? You know, it's not going to hurt anybody, but it's going to help somebody. And so I always believe, you know, don't judge people, because that's what I teach my grandkids. Don't judge anyone because you don't know what happened to them. You don't know where they came from and what happened to them and how they got
right.
there.
Right.
So they always remember that message. Their mom's telling them. I go, well, I think it's an important message for kids to learn young. I think, you know, that that's one of the messages in A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders. And why did you call it A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders?
Well, I thought about what was going on, and I think one of the things that you've heard me talk a lot about is youth. And I was on a panel of the NGO for the world stage, and they said, if you had the opportunity to go ahead and talk to the leaders of our world today, what would be the message you want to give them? And I replied, think about your kids. Think about your grandkids. What is the world that you want to leave behind them? There are so many youngsters that have so many amazing, incredible ideas, but how often do we shut them down? How often do we say, oh, we don't have time for that? Come on, this is the way it's done. It's not that way, it's this way. You got to do it this way. Did you hear me? I said, I wanted to do it this way. And they say that creativity is born in each and every child, and by the age of 7, it's squashed, it's killed. And so when we think about that message for tomorrow's leaders, it's give them a chance, give them a voice. I was on one platform. There was a young girl. She was 7 or 8 years old. I mean, look at Magali Yousafzai and the wonderful things that she's gone ahead and done. But this girl was less than 10 years old and had the intellect of a 25 and 30-year-old. And they're just kids. And they're just kids. And that's why I said it's a message for tomorrow's leaders, in hopes that we can give them the inspiration and hope that they can go out and change the world to really make it a better place if we only open up our ears to listen to them.
Yeah, I believe that too. I believe that when children are suppressed and told to shut up, sit down, be quiet, which was really the agenda for kids for a very long time, not out of meanness, but out of discipline. That just was one of the things they said, you know, children, this is an adult conversation. So you can, if you heard something, you couldn't participate in it and make a comment because it was for adults only. And so your mm-hmm. opinion didn't matter because you're a kid. And that discipline was probably going on through up until probably the 70s or 80s.
Mm-hmm.
When things started to change in America, and the family life started to change as well. So it's a big, really complex thing about how everything, you know, changes, but what we want is for it to change for the better, which is what you're offering in your book, A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders. So would you say that even today's leaders would be, that it would be important for even today's leaders to read this book?
Oh, definitely. I think it should be a book that, you know, someone once told me to get it into the libraries of people all around the world. And my hope and goal of having it in the Toastmasters magazine is it's going to reach out and get to those places. I was looking for someone, and maybe someone listening to the radio will hear this and say, if you'd like to be a sponsor and help this get this into 15 libraries in your community, I'd be so grateful, and that more people could have access to it. And 15 books, you know, if it's $10 a book, mm-hmm. that's $150, which is, you know, me and Matt aren't the best friends. A small amount.
It is for a message
to get it out to
so
help
important
people around
for
the
youth. Yes,
yep.
I agree.
Yep.
I think reading is really important too, because I think people learn more when they read than when they're just checking on the internet constantly and just reading the headline. So I think when they have a book and they can read, and they'll find that, you know, there are books like Grounded Boy, A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders, that you don't want to put down because you're getting something out of it, whatever feeling it is or emotion it is while you're reading it. And I think that stays with somebody a lot longer than something that they're just looking at on the internet and just reading the headline and the subtitle and then getting an opinion. And thinking that's
right,
it, you know,
right.
Whatever that person said, that's it. I got it, you know. And that's not true.
Nope, not at all. Not at all.
The whole book. And so what are your next plans for your book, A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders?
Well, as I mentioned, it's going to be in the Toastmasters magazine. It's going to be going out there. Actually, we're in the works of an audiobook. I have an audiobook that's in creation so that people who don't like to read but want to listen, you can check out for the audiobook of this going ahead and coming out. And that's going to be really exciting. I just got a bunch of information that was sent to me of recordings I need to go ahead and listen to. So an audiobook is on the storefront from there. And in the works of, I probably have some other books that are up and coming. And, you know, there might be a sequel to this. But we will have to go ahead and see. There's some more books. There's great stuff happening on my TV show. We're going to be doing a thing for an inner city neighborhood that was closed out due to the pandemic. And we're trying to offer some hope of, you know, having a community that can live by itself with some politicians and people around here. And, you know, if you're looking for that dose of positivity, there's always positivity on my show. It's called Living Your Best Life with Rosalind Khan on KXLA Chow Entertainment, which we've recently got coverage in Las Vegas. We're in the Philippines. We're in Hawaii, in the Middle East, and all around the world. And people can see it on my channel of Rosalind Khan or on Chow Entertainment Group. And also, if anybody wants to get a copy of one of my books, they can go ahead and write a message to me on the thing, and I will give them a downloadable version that they can get that for free.
Wonderful. And do you have a website you'd like to let our audience know about?
Yeah, my website is the name Rosalyn, R-O-S-A-L-Y-N. Last name is Khan, K-A-H-N. And if they click on that, they can just... R-O-S-A-L-Y-N, last name is K-A-H-N, and they can find it there. I'm on all social media under that name.
And what about your book? Where can they purchase your book?
My book is available on Amazon, or you can also get it on my webpage. If you go to Amazon and look at Rosalind Khan, A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders, you'll see my other books there, Dogs and Roses, How to Reduce Stress, and the first one was called Random Acts of Kindness. But you'll see this one, it has a beautiful picture of the sunset, which is one of my photos I took myself. And just a glorious, glorious book.
Well, I think they're all glorious. I think they're all very positive. And I think that, you know, they will make people actually think about, you know, themselves and their behaviors, especially people who want to change their behaviors, and teach them how to change their behaviors, and also, you know, how kindness will come back to them tenfold or a hundredfold in the future. You know, it may not happen immediately, but it always comes back somehow, even unexpectedly sometimes. All right?
That is certainly for sure. I certainly agree on that one.
And, gosh, I sure appreciate all your work you're doing to help the world be a better place. And to help kids so that they have hope and more self-esteem and more positive thinking in a world that can seduce them into so many other things. So we need this positive message out there for the children and for the young people and even for adults and even our leaders. We can always learn, right? We're like big kids always learning.
No, that's certainly for sure. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for opening up this opportunity. I know throughout the years you've interviewed me on homeless and other interesting things that I've been working on, and you always reach out and keep in touch. And I appreciate that's what good friends are about. You know, you don't just see them one day, one show, and be gone with it, but they keep up with each other. And I really am grateful for everything you do with your award-winning show and all the people's lives that you impact with your shows on a weekly basis. It's just golden. Golden, thank you from the bottom of my heart and gratitude beyond words.
Well, you're so welcome, Rosalind Khan, and we want to keep up with what you're doing because you're doing something that is very important, and it's gonna impact a lot of lives. And so, definitely want to keep up with you too, my friend. And God bless you, and keep in touch, okay?
And no, we'll definitely. Let's talk to you after the show and all the other good stuff, and so we can keep in touch, and maybe we'll see each other in person one of these days. Imagine that.
That would be fantastic.
Awesome.
All righty. Well, you have a blessed day, and we will get in touch again.
All righty. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. and Professor Rosalind Kahn, and author of A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders, has left the building. And I'm not going to leave the building just yet. I have a few minutes. But I will be back right after this important message to give you my comment on the issue of the day.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite. And now, this is the issue of the day. Patreon Insider reported, rigged film shows, Zuckerberg single-handedly enabled rampant fraud in the 2020 election. That's really interesting. And on a positive note, it's a good thing because we want to have fair elections. Our vote should count no matter who doesn't like the way someone else votes or which party they belong to. It shouldn't matter in the United States of America. It should be a personal privilege and a right to vote for whoever you want. And the Democrats, it says, wasted no time using the COVID charade as a means to implement the manner of election procedures that increased the odds of a Joe Biden win. That's what it says. It also says, of course, we know there was outright fraud and corruption, but there were also so many more subtle ways that this election was stolen. Presidential election, and one of the biggest ways through the use of excessive mail-in ballots. I don't believe that everyone should get a mail-in ballot personally. I think that people should get a mail-in ballot if they are elderly or they're sick or they have mental and physical challenges or they don't have a car or a way to get to the polls. But I think most people should go to the polls. And I think most people should use a paper ballot and go back to the way it was, where we used paper ballots and this controversy over the electronic voting machines. Because in 2012, they had the electronic voting machines at our polling place, and I asked for a paper ballot, and I was in the booth when people were shouting out that their ballots were slipping and on the electronic machines. Well, no one knew what to do about it, so they didn't do anything because they were fairly new and in a lot of areas, and the people that were running the polls, they didn't know what to do about it. So what could they do? So anyway, it did happen in our polling place. And I did report it on ABC News and other national radio stations when I got out from voting. I told them what had happened and that people were upset because they were shouting that their ballots were slipping. So on those machines. So I think the safest way is paper ballots. And I truly believe that. And I also think that they should have a copy that is emailed to your home of your personal voting ballot. I think we should have a copy. And that the voting should be the voting ballot that they send to your home should also be posted online. So if you want to check and make sure they match up, that way you will feel comfortable that your vote did count and that there was no changes made to your ballot, because it does take effort and time out of our lives to vote. And it's the most important thing we can do. And it's our duty as American citizens. So personally, I think paper ballots are the best way to go. I think limited mail-in ballots are probably the best way to go if you want to have fair, safe ballot counting and safe and fair elections. We should not have to spend all our time investigating electronic voting machines. And we shouldn't have all of this confusion at the polls, which never happened until we had the electronic voting machines. In fact, I had researched the electronic voting machines in 2012 because it was very disturbing that people were shouting that their ballots were slipping and so punching a different name. So when I looked it up, the original inventor of the electronic voting app, the electronic voting machine app, was under oath and testified that the electronic voting machines can be easily rigged. Those were his words. They can be easily rigged. And so when you look at Chile and Venezuela, especially, who use those same electronic voting machines, and they were once a free and economically sound country, especially Venezuela has tons of oil and other commodities, and they were a happy, free people. And they used those electronic voting machines, and those people cried out that they believed that the machines rigged the election. They ended up with a communist leader. So did Chile end up with a communist leader. And in Venezuela, the people ended up without water and without food and starving and without jobs and income. Communist leadership. Now you want to talk about people who are suffering. They are suffering in Venezuela because of those electronic voting machines. And those electronic voting machines are hooked up to Switzerland, Spain, Italy, USA, China, and probably and Venezuela and Chile, probably other countries as well. So I think the paper ballot is the only way to go, and limited mail-in ballots, because we never had any of these problems prior to these electronic voting machines being used in America, in Venezuela, in Chile, and then all the hacking that's happening between Russia, China, into the USA. Not a good way to go, in my opinion. Just asking for trouble. So on that note, I just want to thank you for listening in. And I want to tell you that injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me. But together, we can make a positive difference. Remember, you are never alone. And you tune in to Colombo Chronicles every Wednesday live from noon to 1 p.m. God bless you. God bless America and the rest of the world. And may he keep his hand on his children.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.